You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I've been in law enforcement my entire adult life. For 54 years, I've worked at the sheriff's office. The license plate readers, known as FLOC, is the single best tool to keep people safe and to find those that have run away from or driven away because of Alzheimer's or dementia. The single best tool to keep the community safe we've ever had.
This is Sheriff Grady Judd, Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, well known for his brash style and forthright speaking. And I am not surprised that Sheriff Judd came out with a statement yesterday, did about an 11-minute YouTube video basically talking about why he thinks that this whole push to get rid of FLOC cameras is misguided. And for all the reasons, and I told you last hour, you know, it's easy for me to pick on the socialists. They say silly stuff, even though I happen to side with their conclusion that the FLOC cameras as currently operating are not a good thing for us to have. With revisions, I might be more open to I am more open to it with revisions. Last hour I explained all the bad reasoning that one particular socialist gave at the Pensacola City Council meeting. And now I'm going to explain to you all the bad reasoning engaged in by Sheriff Judd yesterday in this video. Because he did a lot of it. And as I am eager to point out, people on both sides of an issue can engage in poor reasoning. And, you know, you have to be careful not to judge the truth of the conclusion by the poor reasoning used in its defense. But it does make you wonder when the advocates on either side use bad reasoning. I just want people to use good reasoning, and then we can have an honest conversation. That's what I try to model for you here on this show all the time.
Contrary to all of the white noise, contrary to all of the rhetoric, it does not invade personal, private space. It sits on a public right-of-way and takes pictures of tags and cars and car colors, not individuals. It does no more than your law enforcement officer sitting on the side of the road in his or her patrol car, running the same database through the same computer system. The difference is the camera can read everyone, and the law enforcement officer is not fast enough to enter everyone. That's all it does.
Okay. There's a truth in that, but does that mean there's no distinction? The whole idea, as I understand it, at least the slice of this issue, the way I think of it is, yes, individual law enforcement officers can write down license plates by sitting on the side of the road. That's correct. And it's not an invasion of privacy because it is in the public right of way and you have no reasonable expectation of privacy when you're out in public. All true. It's the scale, man. It's the speed. It's precisely the capacity to enter in every single license plate that passes a fixed point that makes it fundamentally different. And by the way, this is one of those like dilemma prompts that you want to make sure to keep in mind when you're thinking about this issue. The argument being made by the advocates of the license plate readers is it's no different than blank. And you accept blank, therefore you should accept license plate readers. It's no different than cops sitting on the side of the road writing down license plate numbers, therefore you should accept it. Okay. But if it is no different, then having it doesn't make a difference. Yet you say this is one of the most effective tools for policing and law enforcement we've ever had. So you are saying it does make a big difference. And if it does make a big difference, why? Because of the scale. You cannot have it both ways. You can't say this is a vital, key, difference-making law enforcement tool and turn around and say, but it's really no different than what we've already always been able to do. It is fundamentally different than what we've always already been able to do because of scale and speed and because of the collating of the data and comparing it and sifting it through AI. So, again, you can't argue it's the same as what we've already got. Because if it were the same as what we've already got, then there's no reason to be so attached to it because it is not fundamentally different. The reason it is fundamentally different is because it produces these results and it does them through doing it in an essentially different way because of the scale.
Now, there are those that are concerned, well, they know where I'm going. Well, let's make sure we have this all put together. There are license plate readers that read your tag number when you're on the toll road. It knows where you're going. There's red light cameras that read your tag number. They know where you're going. There's school speed cameras that read your tag number. They know where you're going. There's cameras on school buses that read your tag number when you stopped past school buses. They know where you're going.
Okay. First of all, they know where you are at a particular point. That's different from knowing where you're going. Number two, they don't all talk to each other. They're not all interconnected. The toll reader tells you that you owe a toll because you passed this point at this time. The school zone tells you you sped at this point at this time. It's not creating a database to follow the movements of your car over time, over history. It's, you know, one person here gathering information, one person there gathering information. When they start talking to each other and sharing all their information with each other, it becomes a different thing. Much like, by the way, in the law, if there's a thief over here and there's a thief over there and there's a thief over there and they're all working separately, that's one crime for each of them. If they all conspire together to share information, strategy, and planning, now it's the crimes plus the crime of conspiracy. And that's what's at issue here. The individual point in time collection of a red light violation or of a toll by plate in order to pay the toll is fundamentally different from sharing all of that information aggregated over all these people who have not either engaged themselves in buying a toll passing or sped past a camera at a red light or in a school zone. You haven't broken a law. You haven't earned a fee. You're just driving. So the threshold for having had your information harvested and the conspiracy of collating all that information together is a vital difference. You see what I mean? Like, I know people who shared this post and thought, ah, Grady Judd did a great job explaining it. No, he did a terrible, fallacious job of arguing for the wrong things by not doing good reasoning. And that's what you got to watch out for bad reasoning all over the place. We'll come back to this because it's instructive, okay? And it helps us really think through some of the things in this issue. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash in Roblox, Avalon Boulevard at Cyanamid in Milton. Use caution through that area. Avalon Boulevard is backed up quite a ways. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Sheriff Grady Judd, who generally I like a lot, and doesn't mean you can't criticize a person you like. You know, when people you like say things that are irrational, you have to point that out.
So the bottom line is we've picked out Flock, this one series of cameras that's the least invasive of all of them, does absolutely nothing to the law-abiding citizen.
Okay, the absolutely nothing part is not quite right because we know it's been abused. But in theory, if you have good checks in place, it doesn't do anything for the law-abiding citizen. But what have we always said? You call that, you know, it's the if you don't break a law, you'd have nothing to worry about. My rephrase is, if you don't do something the government dislikes or disfavors, you have nothing to worry about. Ooh, you know, because the government can dislike and disfavor an awful lot of things. Like, it can tell you to stay home because there's a disease running around and, you know, create lockdown enforcements because it's, you know, that, by the way, even my wife likes the LPRs. I know people who like, reasonable people can disagree about this issue, okay, because they want crime solved. They want kids returned. They want shooting solved and so forth, which, of course, you've heard me say it many times. I understand all of that. All right, continuing. It was a really good presentation. I'm glad he did it. I just know that, you know, there's a lot of response that he did not properly consider.
And yet there's not one word about the body camera. But the government puts body cameras on law enforcement officers and walks them into your home, your most private space. And now you're a victim of a burglary, and we walk through your entire house, video recording your most personal space. We deliver horrible news to people that your loved one's just been killed in a car crash. And the worst moments in your life is recorded on body cameras. The body cameras record your face. The body cameras comes into your private business, but not one word about them, and they invade your privacy. Every day and every time there's a police officer there.
Which I think are legitimate concerns. It's not that there's not one word. A lot of people have raised questions about body cameras. I think even our sheriffs have questions about body cameras and whether that's appropriate or not. So that's one where I would agree with him. I just don't agree with the characterization that nobody's raising these questions. But yeah, and just because you allow that version of privacy diminishment does not mean you have to allow another one. You can say yes to this or not to that, but try to find a consistent principle to distinguish between them. Sure. And actually, this is something that Sheriff Simmons has said. You know, are we only going to look at LPRs? We're not going to look at, you know, Ring doorbell cameras and people videoing in public and street, you know, cameras for traffic. I am concerned about all of it. And I like body cameras on cops because I know cops get alleged to do bad things. And I think that, you know, this defends them. I also think that it's good for training. It, you know, proves when they do bad things. But it also helps prosecute people who've resisted arrest. And I mean, so there's, I actually don't mind the body cameras so much. But I think there are rules used a lot of times when people go into homes on those. And obviously they're redacted and, you know, they're prohibited from being publicly disclosed. Sunshine Law doesn't not apply to those in the same way it does to everything because of that kind of stuff and victims of crimes and so forth.
Not one word about the cameras on the patrol cars that also have license plate readers.
No, fair question. And I've actually said that. The car license plate readers are also, I think, worth considering, worth talking about.
And they go, but it tells where we are. Newsflash, we know where you are. We've already got your tag number.
Okay, but keep in mind, if we already know where you are, then this technology doesn't do anything to help. And if this technology does do something to help, then it's not accurate to say we already know you where you are. That's that dilemma I was pointing out a moment ago.
We've already got you in that database. We've already got your driver's license and your number. It's in that database. We know where you are. You carry a cell phone. That cell phone tracks every place you are. You go into Walmart. They know where you are. You go into Target. They know where you are. You order from Amazon. They know where you are. You order from DoorDash. They know where you are.
So always agree with somebody who you're debating when they need agreement. It's always appropriate to agree and say that. And he's right. All of these different systems and services do have all kinds of information about you that you might not be comfortable with them having. And they do have the ability even to track you to a certain degree. Agree. That doesn't mean that that's good either. We should be thinking about that as well. But implying that therefore this is no different, well, it's different in several ways. As I said, speed, scale, government doing it, and the coordination between all of the harvested data with all the other harvested data to produce an overall picture of movement by, for example, a license plate does make it fundamentally different. That's why it's useful to law enforcement. And that's why it is very different from just the individual points of harvesting of information that he's talking about. And, you know, if it works well, this unique tool, it works because it does do something quite different.
So let's not kid ourselves. Technology already knows everything about all of us. What we have to do in government is rein that in to make sure that it's used appropriately.
And again, not to put too fine a point on it, but, you know, you're tracking, like, your movements on your cell phone that Google uses to produce traffic maps and heat maps and so forth that they clearly have. That's not available to law enforcement without a warrant. That's not just easily searchable in a database that they have access to on the basis of kind of some loose parameters and internal trust, right? It is treated differently right now for the exact reason that it is different.
I am 100% in favor of privacy That's why my deputies don't wear body cameras, because they invade your personal privacy.
Interesting.
License plate readers do not. They don't look at your face. They don't come into your home. They don't look into your lingerie drawer if you've been a victim of a burglary and it's dumped all over the floor. They don't do that like body cameras do.
And then the last one here, just because it's worth mentioning.
They simply sit in a public space and catch bad guys and return sick and lost elderly people to their families. That's what license plate readers do. And I'm never going to apologize for saving lives and solving crime.
Ooh. Ooh. So I know he does not actually believe that. He has a flair for, you know, exaggerated claims. And here's how I know that. Because there's all kinds of rules for how evidence is gathered to punish or thwart crimes. There's all kinds of limitations on what the police can do. Everything from not violating your Miranda rights to not engaging in warrantless searches without probable cause to the exclusionary rule for evidence. There's just, I know Sheriff Judd knows that, but in the moment he's very worked up about defending this law enforcement tool. There are all sorts of limits that we place on law enforcement, and rightly so. Somebody texted me a good note, said flock cameras are basically a police checkpoint. And that's true. It's a very quick checkpoint. Doesn't even interfere with your, action. But it is, you know, if you were passing through 53 police checkpoints on your way to work, would you like that? Even if it didn't slow you down, would you like that? We wouldn't. And that's why we're raising these exact concerns. And in case you haven't caught the news yet, Scambia, Santa Rosa, Pensacola, and Gulf Breeze have all dropped. They all turned off the switch yesterday after the governor turned off the switch on state roads for the state of Florida. And we're going to be talking with Eric Winstrom here about this in just about 15 minutes. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good. Still dealing with that vehicle crash in Roadblock, Avalon Boulevard at Cyanamid in Milton. Avalon Boulevard seen some backups as a result. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And again, just to be clear, the point I did of this is to make sure everybody has a full understanding of this conversation so that when the legislature is taking this up next year, we're informed and thoughtful about it, and to point out that if the socialists can say poorly reasoned things, Sheriff Grady Judd can also say poorly reasoned things. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm Britton with Northstone Baptist Church, and I'm thrilled to announce that our children's ministry, Awana, resumes Wednesday night, September 2nd. Awana is an internationally known ministry which focuses on teaching children how to memorize the Bible in a fun and safe environment. Children from 3 years old through the sixth grade will benefit from this large group Bible study, the small group verse memory time, as well as the fun activity time. This is a terrific program for your child. Northstone Baptist Church is located on the northwest corner of Pensacola, close to the intersection of 9 Mile and Pine Forest Road. Our Awana clubs meet every Wednesday night, starting September 2nd at 6:45 p.m. Whether it's Cubbies, Sparks, or TNT, Awana has a place for your child. So register your child now at northstonebaptist.org, or to find out more information about this exciting children's ministry, visit our website. Again, that's northstonebaptist.org.
Recycling in Pensacola is back, and signing up is easier than ever. Just one call adds recycling to your regular sanitation service. No paperwork, no hassle. Just a simple way to keep more out of the landfill and do your part for our city. Recycling in Pensacola is back. One quick call is all it takes. Dial 311 to start recycling.
City of Pensacola Sanitation Services. Recycling made easy. Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
Stay out of trouble.
Thank you.
Somebody says, so what's the difference between the cameras, the flock cameras, and the red light ticketing devices? Well, I actually asked this question yesterday, and I got a good answer. Chief Hawthorne and Gulf Breeze and Sam Abel, city manager, got back to me that their lawyer says the FDOT rule on the state roads for flock license plate readers does not affect the red light cameras because they are a different technology and actually covered by a different statute. And since the memo from FDOT references the LPR statute or the ALPR, the automated LPR statute, it does not have anything to do with red light cameras. That was an open question to me from the other day, and now we know the answer, which is unless the lawyers tell us otherwise, City of Pensacola and City of Gulf Breeze red light cameras are not affected by this at all. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Germany's blaming Russia for an attempted attack at the Leipzig-Halle airport last month involving an explosives-laden drone. Officials say the drone was found near a Ukrainian cargo plane and safely defused. Germany plans to close a Russian consulate, tighten entry controls, and seek more EU sanctions over what it calls Russian hybrid attacks, Moscow denying involvement. And Wheel of Fortune announcer Jim Thornton has been suspended. Sony Pictures is investigating allegations involving him. The studio says it's recasting the announcer role. Thornton had been the show's announcer since 2010.
Yeah, and it's some incident on a plane or something. I was trying to get the details on this yesterday, and I couldn't readily find it, and I decided it wasn't worth doing the research on. But some allegation about a plane, I guess.
That's all I found, too.
All right. Eric Winstrom will join us next. Stick around.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. The U.S. military launching new retaliatory strikes on Iran as President Trump says the Islamic regime is playing out the inevitable.
According to CENTCOM, a variety of IRGC targets were hit, including air defense sites, radar systems, maritime assets, mine laying capabilities, and communication sites. President Trump told Fox News overnight, if they do respond, they'll be hit much harder.
That's Fox's Trey Yang's Tropical Depression Edward slamming the Gulf Coast after making landfall along the Texas-Louisiana border. Warnings of flash flooding as the storm moves inland.
We have a flash flood emergency across Tyler and Hardin counties. That's just to the northwest of where I am standing. We have 10 to 20 inches of rain. This is a life-threatening situation. To complicate the scenario, 40 to 50% of Tyler and Hardin counties do not have power.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 78 degrees right now. We've got mostly sunny skies this morning, and we will get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up in just a couple of minutes. Well, the removal of license plate readers across the state has sparked a lot of conversation online. Many people asking why red light cameras and toll readers aren't facing the same scrutiny right now. Senator Don Gates says there is a big difference.
There's a public policy reason for toll booths to read license plates, and that's in order to collect the tolls. Red light cameras are, basically a revenue-producing mechanism for some communities. I think that they've been overused, but they are allowed in the state of Florida. But there is a public policy reason.
Gates talking to Channel 3, and he says the bigger issue is putting proper guardrails around how ALPR data is collected and used. FDOT yesterday, or this week rather, giving agencies 30 days to remove cameras from state roads and state right-of-ways. Santa Rosa County's already started removing ALPR cameras and ended their contract with Flock. Escambia Sheriff's Office, Pensacola Police, and Gulf Breeze Police have currently suspended their use of ALPRs as well and are working with lawmakers on future potential legislation. President Trump has nominated Acting Navy Secretary Hung Cao to be the permanent Secretary of the Navy. Cao served in the acting role since former Secretary John Phelan abruptly left the position in April. Trump is urging the Senate to confirm Cao quickly. Cao is a retired Navy captain. He previously ran for Congress and Senate in Virginia. Both of those were unsuccessful. And he's recently drawn attention for meeting with families of sailors aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln, which was on a record-long deployment supporting operations in Iran and had issues with sailors' mental health. Al News Radio's sister station, Cat Country 98.7, and the Cat Pack Morning Show have both been nominated for some national CMA awards, recognizing Radio Station of the Year and Broadcast Personality of the Year. It's just one of just five stations and shows nationwide up for each of those honors. Station owner Mary Hoxing says she is proud of the whole Cat Country team. Program director Brent Lane calls the nominations a reflection of the station's listeners and community partners. The winners will be announced November 19th during the CMA Awards broadcast live from Nashville. The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival is returning this year with an expanded 11-day format. It'll run October 1st through the 11th across both downtown Pensacola and Pensacola Beach. More than 150 songwriters and performers are on this year's lineup, including some hit songwriters behind songs recorded by George Strait, Taylor Swift, and Reba McEntire. The festival also features community outreach programming and a national songwriting competition. The full schedule and ticket details are available at songwriterspensacolabeach.com. It is 7:35. Let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still dealing with that vehicle crash in Roblox Avalon Boulevard at Cyanamid in Milton. Looks like the roadblock is stretching just past Westmont Road. Quite the delay there, so just use caution. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
We are going to be dealing with a 40% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 92 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Thursday, 60% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Heading into Friday, 50% chance of rain, high near 91 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from your First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 77 degrees. We've got mostly sunny skies this morning. Our next news in 30 minutes, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Energy Secretary Chris Wright told CNBC that more than 17 million barrels of oil transited the Strait of Hormuz by ship on Monday, which is a record since the Iran war began in February. Around 20 million barrels per day of oil and products passed through the strait before the war started. OpenAI said that its upcoming AI model, Astra, is its first to exceed its critical cybersecurity capability threshold. The company said Astra can find previously unknown security flaws and exploit them without step-by-step guidance from humans. OpenAI said it still plans to make Astra available soon. Dell Technologies shares moved 9% higher after the computer maker reported results and a forecast that easily cleared Wall Street expectations. Revenue came in higher than every estimate, growing about 58% year over year for the fiscal second quarter. The computer maker now sees AI server revenue tripling in the full fiscal year. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
This is going to be a little bit unusual because typically when we talk to anybody from PPD, we talk to them on Thursday. But Mayor D.C. Reeves is out this week. And so I thought, well, you know, this license plate reader, the ALPR announcement from yesterday is such big news and pressing that I thought we'd go ahead and have the chief on today. I want to remind you this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy, Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. So joining us now by phone, we have Eric Winstrom. He is the chief of the Pensacola Police. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So I know we have a lot to talk about, but let's just start with this. Tell me how the decision got made from Monday when FDOT tells everybody that they're going to take away the permission to have flock ALPRs in the Florida state right-of-ways to yesterday, the decision by all the local agencies to completely flip the switch off.
Well, I can't speak to the other local agencies. I did touch Sheriff Simmons about it before our mutual decisions, but I know you've always been sort of a 55-45 guy against, and I've been on the other side. I see the value of it, but I'll tell you from my own personal point of view, what got me hearing the governor specifically mention COVID was the thing that really had me thinking deeply about my own experiences really in Chicago, which had a very vast experience from a police department point of view. And that's what pushed me over to the 5149. You know, I think I don't have to tell you how valuable a law enforcement tool it is, how I think the argument from the socialists or, you know, any defund or abolish, they're just trying to tear the country down so they can rebuild it in whatever they're trying to rebuild. So I think it's very insincere. But the COVID argument plays to what we talked about last time of what if this power gets in the hands of a truly bad actor. And I'll give you an example from the Chicago days. In the end of May in 2020, the police department was called on to start towing cars at churches, arresting people on the lakefront in Chicago. You know, the safest place probably to be was walking on the beach along Lake Michigan.
And right.
The mayor's office was saying, lock these people. I want arrests made, et cetera. So specifically, May 26th, so a day after George Floyd incident in Minneapolis, May 26th, there was a protest downtown to open up Chicago. It was a protest against the lockdowns. And we got orders from the mayor's office. Everybody needs to go to jail. All these protesters need to go to jail. They're demanding, you know, freedom. And they're exercising their First Amendment right. And where the police department was at a point, the leadership was like, geez, you know, we're getting orders from the mayor's office. This doesn't seem right to us. This is, well, eventually, prior to this group, anyone being placed in handcuffs, we just had a discussion with them and say, hey, this is the pressure we're in from City Hall. They eventually just left. Fast forward 2 days later, and the first
The protesters protest left. The protest dispersed?
The First Amendment protesters who were demanding their right to, you know, you got First Amendment, all I want to do is worship in my church. All I want to do is I want to protest the lockdowns. and the orders from City Hall, lock up everybody. And if we had that tool, it's the flock tool then, it certainly would have been made efficiency of rounding people up a lot easier. And then, you know, you like to give that administration the benefit of the doubt. They're trying to save lives, et cetera. But fast forward, it was only 3 days later that the first huge protest in Chicago referenced George Floyd came in. And the direction from City Hall, hey, we got to give everybody space. Got to give them space to protest. Very mismanaged protest, which turned into days and days of rioting, death, destruction, 70 buildings burned down. So, and that was when it really just exposed, like, wow, this mayor, this has nothing to do with COVID. This is control.
Yeah.
And handing somebody like that this flock tool is scary. So I know that the Pensacola Police Department, we have strong accountability system in place. We're, you know, if somebody abuses this, I would certainly hold them accountable. I have a lot of trust in my officers. They do a great job. But I don't know somebody who's sitting, you know, in Chicago accessing my cameras. I don't know if they have the same mindset, the same views of the Constitution as I do. So I think a legislative fix is needed. And that's what pushed me over the edge. Seems everybody else can speak for themselves, I guess.
And you know, I thought it was interesting that in all of the press releases that came out yesterday from Sheriff Bob Johnson, Sheriff Chip Simmons, Chief Rick Hawthorne and Gulf Breeze, and from yourself, that there was a pattern, and the pattern was, we think this is a valuable law enforcement tool. We know this is a valuable law enforcement tool. We are in support of the use of it, and we know that it has not been abused by our agency. Nevertheless, we recognize that people are upset, people have questions, and we think that a lot of those questions are fair, and therefore we are asking for guidance, rules, legislation, so that we know when and how they're going to be used, and that they're used, as you've often said, in a way that is accommodated to the people how they want to be policed in themselves. We're talking to Chief Winstrom, Pensacola Police Chief. Hang on for just a second, Chief. We'll be back to this in a moment. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Avalon Boulevard at Cyanamid in Milton. Looks like the roadway is backed up to Commerce Road, so just be aware of that delay. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. Back to Chief Eric Winstrom. You know, yesterday, it's interesting, there was a news story that came out that violent crime in the United States dramatically fell again last year, as you and I have talked about before. One of the big reasons why violent crime and ordinary crime, too, is down significantly is because of the technological solutions. And, I mean, license plate readers are absolutely one of those keys. I think that we are now in a position where we're going to get to see what happens to crime in places where we've gotten rid of this key tool. Does it not fall the same as the rest of the country? Does it go back up? We're really going to see some real-time comparison between how crime fighting is affected by this. Do you agree?
I do agree. And I'm not sure that we'll see, you know, a spike in crime, but I guarantee that what we'll see is a decrease in the percentage of solved cases, because our detectives utilize these for, you know, anything from a shoplifting to all the way up to a murder. And it's a super, super valuable, effective tool in that. I'm not denying that at all. It really is. So whether or not it emboldens criminals and increases the level of crime, I don't know. But I will guarantee that, unfortunately, you will see a drop in the clearance rate.
And I hope, I assume that you track that to a degree already, so you'll be able to show the data of how clearance rates are changing or have changed because of this. And I didn't mean necessarily that, you know, the criminal was brooding at home waiting for the day that flock cameras didn't exist to commit his crimes. I more thought that because you close cases more effectively and quickly, you incapacitate criminals by catching them and putting them in jail, which has a fairly straightforward but somewhat indirect effect on crime rates. That's the one that I was thinking of.
No, yep, very, very true. And I think, this is, I would describe this as a win for criminals, unfortunately. Yeah. It's a balance.
I said that criminals and criminals are cheering and totalitarians are crying, you know,
that's exactly right.
You know, so Chip asked me a very interesting question yesterday, and I did not have a good answer for him at the time, which was, well, what do you want to see? Like, what would make you comfortable with it? And of course, now, you know, the governor has said the legislature should take this up. All the agencies are saying that. We know from the Senate pro tem incoming that they're going to take this up. the couple that have been suggested or that I have suggested, one was, you know, if the database could be searched only through warrants would be one possible consideration. Another would be felonies only, no misdemeanors. Another would be the time that the data is collected. If you're not on a list of approved license plates to look for, like a no-fly list kind of comparison, your license plate information is either kept not at all, kept only for, say, a half hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. I want to be able to protect the kidnapped kids and, you know, the exigent circumstances. I just don't want it to be stored much longer than that. So you're a cop. You use this. You're, you know, within the parameters of the Constitution, you want to use it effectively. What do you suggest? If you could talk to the legislators, what do you want to see?
Well, the same accountability system I would say that we have in here, I know I can watch the officers in Pensacola. I can hold them accountable, et cetera. But I don't know when an officer in Albuquerque punches in, you know, a license plate because I'm looking for a murderer. Are you really looking for a murderer? I have no idea. You know, there's how many thousands of agencies across the country. So I can only hold my own officers accountable. So some legislation which really puts teeth in that, because right now, if somebody's lying to me, if they're doing a search for their, you know, for their girlfriend or whatever, and it pops up a camera in Pensacola and they're out of my jurisdiction, and their chief is like, hey, this is my buddy, and we'll let him go. There's nothing I can do about that. So some standard set, at least across the state of Florida, that we can share statewide, accountability system in place. I think a shorter time frame retention is good. There have been cases where crime is discovered, you know, a day or days later, that it has been very helpful to look back some period of time.
Yeah.
But an overwhelming majority of the value of it is pretty much a real time, or an hour or two later.
Okay, so we could get the vast majority of the value currently experienced if we shortened the time of retention to even, say, 3 hours. Is that fair?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and that would still be a very valuable tool. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I like that. And I just want to clarify something, because I had thought you said previously, correct me if I'm wrong, that you personally were the gatekeeper for all of the information of the local flock cameras within the city limits of Pensacola, that they all basically came through you or possibly one other designated person. So the Albuquerque cop looking at our cameras to ping a license plate would still depend on you approving the look. Am I right or wrong about that?
Yes. However, once we set up our system and said, all right, how are we going to do this properly? As you investigate, when you get the flock system, fast forward 2 months, your detectives have already requested plate lookups in counties, nearby counties, going further and further. We may ourselves have requested flock lookups from, you know, 500 agencies across the country. When you make that request, agencies are like, oh, okay, you want to use our cameras? Well, we too would like to use your cameras. I think it's a fair thing to ask. And that's kind of how the whole system works. Like, all right, we're all in this together, right? Law enforcement. Yep.
Okay, so there is a jurisdictional reciprocity in practice, and so the kind of I'm going to personally approve your access to this case and this request is not quite right.
Well, I mean, that is specifically what happens, but if you want another agency to play ball with you,
I see.
I mean, why would Albuquerque say like, oh yeah, sure, you can look at all our, when they're like, hey, we sure would like access to yours too, but no, because we don't trust you, we don't know you. Well, we don't trust you either. You're not going to use ours then. Well, hold on.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, and that makes sense to me as well. Any other things? Because, you know, as like I said, the felony misdemeanor, the level of the crime, I think of exigent circumstances. You know, does any of that stuff make sense to you? Or are there any other parameters?
I think the level of crime is good. I think felonies an appropriate thing. I think the big thing maybe is just because there's so much misinformation out there. There's been so much misinformation for this whole conversation of what flock is and what it does. I think getting the buy-in and the communication from the whole state, say, hey, this is actually what they do. Hey, state of Florida, is that something you want? I mean, if I'm a parent, like if one of my kids went missing, I would really want there to be flock available. Is that something? Or do you value your privacy more? And I think if we just have this open and honest conversation, we can hear how people want to be policed, put it down on paper, and then, you know, move forward from there.
And just one thing before we end the conversation, I just wanted to clarify, only because I know people are going to ask. D.C., your boss, the mayor, has been taking an enormous amount of heat over this, even though he didn't. It was kind of original, and you know, came before you as well from prior administration on some of this stuff, and not like under Grover, but I mean under the previous police chiefs. I assume that you didn't make this decision without talking to the mayor about this, that the mayor was on board with this, that you guys are in agreement about this decision.
I did not get any pushback from the mayor. The mayor has not pushed me at all. The best mayor as far as policing I've ever, well, best mayor period I've ever worked for, but wants an expert to run the police department who knows about policing, defers to me on policing issues. If there's a political issue, yes, of course I want to discuss it. But I think if I told him, hey, mayor, this is the most important thing in the world, I mean, we need to keep flock, he would be like, all right, well, you know, let's fight this fight. But my advice yesterday, or my direction to the department yesterday, didn't have any pushback whatsoever. Yeah, this is, he's kind of owned this in the,
yeah,
in the media, at least, and, you know, city council comment time, everybody's blaming the mayor. The mayor probably had no idea that
it'd be so controversial, right?
Anybody else. This is a police department guy that's saying, hey, mayor, we think we need this tool. It wasn't that much money. I think it was like $50,000 when the money got appropriated.
And it probably came to him from, you know, prior BPD.
Yeah,
and just,
yeah, was, and I would have probably done the same thing. No offense to Eric Randall. I think he, so this is an amazing tool, and let's try it out.
Yeah, and if you're a mayor who wants to be in pro-law enforcement, you generally say yes to something like this because, as you say, it hadn't even been a big hubbub conversation at the time. By the way, I know we didn't have time to talk about it, but I really appreciated your comments about the artificial intelligence-generated child sexual abuse material, CSAM, and that Seventh Circuit Court ruling. Horrific ruling, terrible ruling. There should be no protections for anybody using any kind of imagery involving children in these ways, regardless of whether it's, and your comment about how they have to feed the AI in order to, you know, the actual photos in order to get them to generate the false ones. I just thought that was all on point. So Chief Eric Winstrom, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for spending it with us today. Thanks for the clarification, explaining things and keeping us safe, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you.
You bet. 756 News Radio 92.3 PJ has traffic for us.
There is a brand new vehicle crash in Roblock, Wellline Road at State Road 95 in Cantoma. Just seeing a minor delay there. Also still working that vehicle crash, Avalon Boulevard at Cyanamid in Milton. Avalon Boulevard southbound, seeing quite a bit of a backup there all the way to Westmont Road, so be aware of that. US 90 southbound is also congested from Woodbine to Scenic Highway. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBV accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
Take a second and think about the many things that make your neighborhood great. The road you're driving on, the park where your kids love to play, the fire station just around the corner. For more than 30 years, the voter-approved local option sales tax has quietly helped build Escambia County. It funds the local projects we count on every day, from reliable roads and stormwater damage to parks, libraries, and fire stations that keep us safe and improve our quality of life. Chances are high that the penny has been at work right in your neighborhood, even if you've never noticed. Now the penny is up for renewal. This isn't a new tax. It's a decision about whether to keep a crucial funding source our community relies on by voting to renew it in November. To see how the local option sales tax has benefited your neighborhood, visit pennyforescambia.com. That's pennyforescambia.com. Paid political advertisement, paid for by the Penny for Progress Committee, Incorporated. 707 East Cervantes Street, Suite B, 241, Pensacola, Florida, 32501.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday, beginning at 5:30, enjoy the celebration of local art in downtown Pensacola during First Friday's Art Walk. Explore local art galleries, live music, refreshments, while supporting and celebrating local artists. See visitpensacola.com for more. Check out the end of summer finds at the Palafox Market, Saturdays from 9 till 2. Experience why Palafox Market was named Best Farmers Market by Southern Living Magazine. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
The 5-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Why, that's crazy. Ha! Impossible!
The word impossible, Mr. Booth, is only found in the dictionary of fools.
I'm your only friend, I'm not your only friend.
You know, I just want to make a note, which is I really appreciate the openness and the willingness of our law enforcement and elected officials to come on the show and talk to me and answer questions. And having people who like Chip and Bob and Chief Winstrom, who are just thoughtful, decent people who care about these issues and who listen and who will even reconsider their own views. I think that's something to celebrate.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio.